You've had four of these experiences.
Correct. Since the age of 6 years old, I've been directly connected with the forces, with extraterrestrial, having nobody to explain to me what this was. It was very, very traumatic to me to be able to understand, as in the 60s, nobody in the small village in the south of France was able to tell me that I was dealing with extraterrestrial every single night in the attic.
Interesting, Leonop, when was your last experience with an extraterrestrial?
That was in November 11, 1981, with my ex-wife, Bridget. We were supposed to go to Anaheim from San Diego. She, at that time, was modeling.
Well, you Frenchmen, you always pick pretty woman. Well, Pippin, that's French too, so.
What happened, to cut the story short, we end up after Los Angeles in a matter of a couple of seconds.
Wow.
We did not know where we were. I was saying to my wife, where are we? She said, I don't know. So I exit, and I end up in a parking lot, and there was three Mexican guys eating their sandwich on the back of a white Toyota truck. I parked my car, I went straight to them, and I said, excuse me, where am I? They look at each other, and one of them could speak English a little bit, and he says to me, you are at the Glendale Zoo, exit after Los Angeles. And I said, okay, and what's the time? He said, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. We left San Diego at 8 o'clock.
Wow.
We drove 20 minutes, that's all I remember. We drove through a sign called Jamboree. And then after Jamboree, everything, we drove like into a cloud. I didn't feel the wheel of the car, and that's where we were sucked into a flying saucer. And I saw them taking the child. My wife was pregnant. They took the child away. She has still a scar above the airline, 2 inches wide, 2 inches long, cut with a laser. It's very obvious. I was not there before. And as far as I'm concerned, I went into a room where a helmet came down, all the way down to my eyes, and my entire body became like solid concrete electricity at the same time, and I was downloaded the supra knowledge of every single planet and how they interact in our solar system, including information where the moon comes from and what's the purpose of Jupiter, and why our solar system is set the way it is.
What do you think happened to the child?
It was taken away, and that was so traumatic for my ex-wife that we divorced.
That was the beginning of the end for your relationship.
Yeah, I told her when I married her, you know what, honey, I have been in contact with these things with when I was a child, then with my brother, then with my sister. And, you know, Bridget is a very logical, rational girl. She never really believed me until, of course, she went through it. And she was very, very scared. She never wanted to come back to the home where everything started.
So basically, unfortunately, she had a human reaction of, I don't want to have anything to do with you again.
That's exactly what happened after 13 years of marriage.
Yeah.
And it was devastating for me to lose her.
I'm certainly...
This is life, I guess, you know.
Yeah, life goes on. All four of these... experiences were they with the same group, you think?
No, the first one I was mostly approached by the Greys.
Uh-huh.
The Greys.
Yeah.
Every single night, I don't know what they were doing to me. I was hiding away as a child. I didn't want to see them, and they managed to come very close to me and passed out. I used to scream. I was waking up the entire neighborhood, and then finally my mom, you know, had to do something with me. And I was supposed to go through electrical shock in my brain. That was the only way to in those days.
So you're saying in France they gave you electric shock?
This is what they wanted to do, but my mom didn't want me.
Okay, good.
So I got lucky because we didn't have Ritalin. We didn't have Prozac.
Right.
So that was the only way they thought they could fix my brain, because I had quoted hallucination and screaming every night to, you know, murder, waking up the entire neighborhood. And I was saying to my mom, there is little monkey with big eyes. They come every night.
Mm-hmm.
She says, no, you had bad dreams. You had bad dreams. And I was screaming my head off. I was very, very scared. But that was very dramatic as a child. And then, of course, after a certain time, I knew I was going to wake up okay the next day. So Most of the time I passed out spikes when I saw them. But I was okay the next day. And then
yeah, why do you think contact or whatever you, what do you look upon that? Do you call it contact or?
No, as a child I was, that was abduction.
Yeah, it was literally an abduction. And
I was completely against my will. I was not prepared for it. It was, I have no idea. There is a lot of kids who are going through this, not just me.
The reason I'm asking this is because you not only had bad experiences there, but the results of this caused you to lose your wife. And it sounds to me that you were, you haven't had contact or abducted or anything since 81. Why do you think that's...
No, I did. Every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every 10 years. The second experience was with my sister. I took her to her job. She missed the bus at the Sunday afternoon. She was working as a training nurse in the French Alps. Again, let's cut the story short. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm desperate for a cup of coffee and find out where the hell I was. And I stopped in a little bar that was open in the middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
As I entered this bar, I saw 3 huge guys. I thought they were lodgers. They were well close to 7 feet tall, tall and blonde. 3 of them, they were at the bar. I went there, and I asked my sister to stay by the door. I asked for a cup of coffee, and I brought my sister a drink. And one of these guys looked at me, and he asked me to play cards. I didn't want to play cards. I was very tired. And he says, come on, play cards. You're going to be friends with cards. He did this a few times with me, and I was amazed how he could just guess, so-called guess, the card.
Uh-huh.
And then he forced me to challenge him. In my mind, I thought, okay, I'm going to change the 9 of diamonds for the queen of spades. And this is where he blew me away. He called me by my name. He says, Louis, and I never said my name. He says, Louis, you are not going to change the queen of spades for the 9 of diamonds. And at the very same moment, it felt like a screwdriver penetrate one side of my temple and end up on the other side. I was
over
the bar. I didn't know if I was going to pass out right there. I went to the bathroom to put some water on my face, and I was connected and speaking to this guy mentally. I was wondering what the hell he was, what he was doing to me. And I said, when I come out of the bathroom, you're going to tell me what's going on. I don't care how big you are. And then when I walked back into the bar, he was gone. I asked the barman where he was, and he just walked out. So I went outside, I managed to walk outside, I don't know how, and they were gone. And there were no cars there. And he told me, but they must have come here by car. The next thing I know, I wake up my sister, I say, let's get out of here. And I don't remember anything after that. I just remember it's the next day, 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm driving back home. And then I have a headache for the next month and a half that I would never wish to my worst enemy.
And that... These people were, for lack of a better term, somewhat like the Nordics.
They were the Nordics.
Mm-hmm.
They were the same people I recognized into the flying saucers in 1991.
Uh-huh.
They were kind of managing the greys that were flying the saucer and handling all the electronics inside of the saucer. My third experience, that was each time it's with a family member, maybe to keep my sanity. The third experience was... with my brother, November 11, 1981. I will never, ever forget the date. The other one was August 11, 1991 with my wife. So it's every 10 years, and it's always the 11th. It's either August or November. So there is a definite timing imposed. And that time, I graduated from the Royal School of Music in London, and my brother owned the discotheque, and he asked me to go and sing in his discotheque to promote my first release, my first record. I was a recording artist then. And we were going to the discotheque, and we drove to the vineyard on the way to the main road that would take us to the discotheque 20 minutes later. And that night, as we were walking through the vineyard, I saw some lights on my right side, and I asked Joe, hey, Joe, is there people working in the vineyard? Because, Louis, it's November, you know, there is no wine, there is no grapes, it's all been picked up. In other words, you know, be quiet.
Sure.
My brother is like a mafioso type of guy, you know, big guy. Anyway, and finally, I saw this big, big, huge light right on top of the car. My brother was driving a brand new Mercedes during those days. The car died right there in the middle of the little road. And I went outside. He didn't want to let me go outside, so I saw the side of my brother that I never saw before. He was scared. I said, oh, my gosh, what's that? It was not a helicopter because, you know, it was just a humming noise. But I couldn't see anything because the light coming down was so strong. And then they turned the lights off under. And then I had all the time in the world, once my eyes adapted to darkness, to see 30 feet above my head a huge flying saucer right there. And I was screaming, swearing every French word I knew. I was banging the top of the car. I was begging my bigger brother to go out and to look at that thing. He was inside of the car, his nose against the windshield. He could not believe. Now, you know, Jerry, UFOs and flying saucers and all that stuff, it's such a personal experience. But once you go there, once you are under there, once you have the fact in hand that UFOs and flying saucers are not a project of imagination, but it's real. When you have that fact in hand, it changes your conception of life. And after that, I literally lost it because I had the fact. And then as soon as I went, and they turned the lights on again, and that thing flew off. And as soon as I went back inside of the car, my brother looked at me and he says, Louis, this didn't happen. We never seen a UFO. I said, what are you talking about? I was about to smack him. He goes, he was working with big guys and he didn't want people to think we were crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? 30 years later, Christmas night at the table, he finally stand up in front of the entire family and all his kids and said, yes, I want to tell you something to everybody. It's time for the truth. In November 11, 1981, yes, Louis and I, we had the flying saucers 30 feet above the car.
You know, it seems that people that have these experiences, they go through that pattern a lot, don't they?
See, my brother smoking or drinking. I saw him only once my entire life smoking and drinking scotch. And that was that night when we came back at the discotheque. When we arrive at the discotheque, it's usually very slow. There's a bunch of groupies. You know, we're getting the stuff together before the night, you know, gets on. We start at 12 o'clock night, all night long. And that night when we arrived at the discotheque, it was full and it was going. So we also have had a lapse of time that was missing, my brother and I.
Do you think that last time, did they give you some kind of message or something? I mean, that you remember the date and you remember the message?
Absolutely. I mean, we're not talking about the walking. We're not talking about life here. We are talking about a true flying saucer and me being inside and dealing with people as solid as you are. It just seems to be for somebody who has too much imagination and wants to write a movie in Hollywood. The point of the matter is that I'm a real actor, and these things are real. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the only one who has that fact with my wife, of course.
Did you have this gift? You have daily predictions.
I was not into this at all, Jerry. I was a recording artist. I was playing piano, singing, and I used to make a living when I arrived in this country by working on Pearl Harbor and San Diego, U.S. base. As a welding engineer, I had no business into what I do today. And you could see the pictures that I sent you and some of the links. My entire house, following that event in August 11, 1991, I painted my entire house with symbols, with UFOs, with all my walls, all my doors, everywhere. I couldn't help myself. I was in such a deep shock. And I took pictures of the apartment inside with all of those drawings that I couldn't help myself to do. And this is where I started my new career. I felt a very strong urge to revive Nostradamus astrology. I couldn't do anything than to read every single book that I could find on astrology and Nostradamus. I couldn't help myself. Unless you go through it yourself, you will never know how I felt. It's such a private experience. But it's so real. I got better things to do, Jerry, than to make things up.
This is very, very interesting to me because of where you are now. How did you end up in Phoenix, the home of the Phoenix Lights, where we have more reports every week than any other place in the United States, maybe other than Puerto Rico?
Only 2 weeks ago, sitting by my pool with Jordan Maxwell, a good friend of mine, we were outside. We saw a big, huge UFO just flying by us. I'm in my pool, and I see things all the time. And you know what? But I kind of give up because people cannot relate to the extraordinary. They just can't. You know, a magnet will attract a piece of wood. I vibrate to such a high level because of my own atomic structure, my own stars being an Aquarius, which is the sign of UFOs. I vibrate to that level. A magnet will attract a piece of wood because I vibrate to such a high level. Maybe I attract this energy. That's my only explanation to what happened to me since I'm a child. I came in this country with only $50 in my pocket. No friends, no green card, no house, no car, nothing. And today I have it all and more. I am writing my book now, which is my life. It's called You Are God. And I already have movie producers that are interested in turning it into a movie. This book is a reflection that took place since I arrived in this world. And sometime when I write it, I kind of help myself to cry. I said, oh my gosh, how is it possible that as a child I went through all that and nobody was there to support me or to make me understand the incredible extraterrestrial force that I was dealing with. And they've been following me since that day, maybe to bring me to a level where I could bring cosmic consciousness to mankind and to prepare them for the extraordinary and help them to have faith that we are not doomed in a world that's supposed to end up in fire because a God that is upset with us. This is no nonsense. It's all about the stars. And it's all about the extraterrestrial, which are the gardeners of this world. They are in charge. They are watching. And they are keeping this place alive, put it this way. And there is an hierarchy of extraterrestrial, and every one of them has a very specific function, specific goals in everyone's differences and races.
Now, Dr. Turi, I think you know, you do these predictions every day.
No, actually, I do them once a year.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, you come up with these things that come up on the website there. You have
that was written in my book.
Right, right. And then you bring them out. What I'm getting at is I'm sure that's fulfilling that you're able to predict things.
Anybody can do it. I have students all over the world. Once you understand your relationship with the divine, once you raise your cosmic consciousness, once you understand that the 12 apostles are nothing else than the 12 signs of the zodiac, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 notes of music, the 12 hours of the day, the 12 months of the year, once you get to speak the language of the God and raise your cosmic consciousness, you can tap on the archetypal problem of consciousness, and you can do what I do. I teach it. It's very feasible. I'm not a psychic. Anybody can do it. It's a matter of education. But there is no schools that create Einstein, Michelangelo, or Mozart. These people were born with their gifts. So are you, and so am I. And that's the beauty of being a human being, that because you can change things, you can raise yourself, you can change your entire perception, you know, by one or two gather the information. Sad enough, this world was trying to be saved. Allah, Buddha, and Jesus, for centuries, those three people have tried all they could to save the world with love. They created the biggest mess ever. You can't save the world with love only. You have to add a serious dose of education. And that's where the problem is nowadays. Because some politically or financially, you know, oriented organization are not there to bring you cosmic consciousness or knowledge. Because knowledge is power. And that means your option to establish emotional, financial, and spiritual stability. They don't want you to have that. So they are stopping all the information that will allow you to raise by bombarding you with stupid program all day long on television and sports. So you don't think.
I'd like to have heard that sports show you did with the guy in England.
I give him the exact date for an earthquake. He called me 3 weeks later, and he said in 35 years in the radio broadcasting, I never had any guests that produced so much response that you did. And now I'm a regular on this show. And these people are beginning to realize, because people are not stupid. If you approach them logically, if you give them the time to think and to react to my information, people are not stupid. They're going to grasp it. Sometimes it takes two or three shows.
On 12-12-2012, I don't have to worry?
No. I tell you what, you know, 2 years ago, people said, oh my gosh, Dr. Cherie, the Y2K, the year 2000, all the radio and television, the end of the world, and I was there, I said, my gosh, you're going to wake up the day after the Y2K, you're going to turn your computer and it will be okay. And the very next day after the year 2000, trust me, California will still be on the coastline. Who was right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I can see the fear, I can see the ignorance, I can see why religion would use the instinct of preservation of human by saying you're going to go to hell if you touch the stars, not realizing, of course, those three kings were following the stars of the birth of Christ. What a contradiction on the first few words in the Bible. Not knowing, of course, that the Pope is being taught astrology by the Vatican Council. I have proof of that. I have pictures of that. It's such a miscommunication. The mass is kept under. They don't want you to think.
Karl Marx said religion was the elixir of the masses.
Religion, you know, let me put it this way. Every single Christmas night, the children are waiting for Santa Claus. Santa Claus to go down through that cheminée. And the parents are waiting for Jesus to come back. I'm only waiting for Elvis Presley to come back every Christmas Day. You know what I'm saying? You see how stupid that sounds?
Uh-huh.
And it's been going this way for 2,000 years because those myths that never, ever took place were taken as reality by a bunch of manipulated, politically oriented bunch of manipulators.
Now, let me ask you this, Dr. Turi, how about an afterlife?
Well, there is afterlife. Look at the worm in the water. It transforms into a butterfly from the element of water. It flies straight into the sun. Right there, you have the proof of reincarnation in this dense physical world. There is an afterlife. As a matter of fact, there is no beginning, there is no end. You've always been there. You are here to learn for 100 years, if you're lucky. And then the amount of information that you're going to gather is what you're going to bring with you to the superconscious, to God, to yourself, because you have been made in the image of God. You like it or not, you know it or not, you have the essence of God. You create your reality. This is why I teach my students the future is a reincarnation of the thought, and that's the title of my book, You Are God.
On your website, they can order anything you have, right?
They can order my readings. I send tapes all over the world. People don't have to be with me. They just have to be very patient because I'm swamped with work. You're not ordering a table here. You're ordering a piece of the divine. So you have to let me take care of your fragile psyche. I send 90-minute tapes, printed material, and in that full-life reading, I make sure people get to know the 12 specific areas of their life. I talk about their soul's purpose, their finance, their thinking process, home, family, health, career, wishes and friends, the subconscious motivation, the location of the dragon, their past life. I talk about universal love. It's a full 90 minutes of tremendous channeling, and I can only do one reading a day. That's why people have to be very patient. But once that tape arrives with the printed material, they get a new understanding of what light is all about. As a matter of fact, they get the golden keys, what it means to be human, as they understand my work.
You mentioned past lives. You're saying we can actually figure out who we were?
That's correct. You just have to look on the tail of the dragon. The tail of the dragon represents who you have ever been. You cannot teach somebody to act or to sing or to draw. You cannot teach Mozart or Beethoven to play piano. It's just something that they did in past life, and it's called karma. For every action, you will have an equal reaction. As you reincarnate on this world, you inherited a set of stars, or a little portion of the universe that interacts with your psyche. Your brain is nothing else than a computer which is reacting to the outside stimuli produced by your bigger brain, by the universal mind or the stars.
Basically, you're saying a common thing, we're all consciousness.
That's right. We're all children of the universe. That's where we came from. We came from the stars. And then if you're looking for the affairs of the brain, you don't want to look down. You know, like again, scientists are wasting our tax dollar. They want to find out why Einstein was a genius. So they take his brain out of the fridge, and they're looking down at the microscope. Guess what? How stupid that can be. if you're not supposed to look down, you're supposed to look above into the universal mind if you want to uncover the working of the mind, of the human mind. Your mind is not, there's no difference between your brain or the one of Einstein's mind or a killer for that matter. Same weight, same wiring, same formation, same everything. The only difference is the program you inherited at birth, or what I call in astral psychology, your UCI, which stands for Unique Celestial Identity. This program is what makes you who you are. I was talking with George Norrie, and he says, well, what do I do, what I do? I said, because you were born in June. And guess what? Arbel is also born in June. That's why both of you are controlled by Mercury, which rules the radio world and communication and so forth. Now you have that Mercury in your chart, which is also very, very strong. That's why you're doing what you're doing. But people don't know. This knowledge has been cast aside, but it belongs to our universities, to our college, and accepted as a solid discipline. So this way the children can regenerate and they don't have to take the center stage in school by killing their teachers and their schoolmates and finally swallowing a bullet because they don't regenerate.
Dr. Turing, you're incredible. Our time's almost up. We want to stress people that they can get that ebook very easily by going over to your website.
Right. I would suggest them also to sign up for my newsletter because I teach all sorts of things in my newsletter. It's free. You go to my website homepage. You look for that little box, the dragon, and you put your name, your email address. You go to my forum. There's a lot of material. And most of all, one of my biggest messages to you and to your audience is to go to my website and to read that section called SOS to the World. Click on the banner where you see the world being engulfed into the ocean and understand the power of Neptune, the planet that has been charged of the world last 2,000 years.
But Neptune's time is almost up.
Yes, we are transiting from Neptune to the age of Aquarius, and Aquarius will reign in this world for the next 2,000 years. We are just about 60 years into the age of Aquarius, barely 60 years. And we already been to the moon, and we already have tremendous technological advance that is not produced by Neptune. Neptune is a religious planet, elusive and deceiving, while Uranus or Aquarius is an intellectual, is a genius planet. So the world is making some serious, serious, fast progress, and mankind must catch up. And there is nothing to worry at the end. The ultimate order of the universe is in charge and has better things for us than a dead end.
You know, before we go, you're an you deal in astrology. Should we really pay attention to the signs of other people?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is one of the reasons why the politically oriented churches have cast aside astrology, because it gives you too much power. But you have to use it in a practical, logical, intelligent, scientific way, not like Mrs. Clear or your horoscope newspaper. There is much more behind the old science of astrology. And it gives you the understanding of your fears, your drive, your strengths, your weakness, your health, your career. You're already set by your stars to be who you are, and knowing that, you can make the most out of your stars. You just have to understand and use the program accordingly.
So got to watch out for these dates that you gave earlier. Was that the 20th and 21st of August?
Let me give them to you again. The first one was the 19th and the 20th of August.
Okay.
The second one was August 29th to September 2nd, and the two others was November and December the 20th. These are the windows for very, very serious happening.
And they can get a hold of that ebook and...
Yeah, it's only my book, Moon Power. Download it from my site or yours if you have it there, and let people enjoy the book. The 2006 will be ready in about 4 months from today, and people come to Shays, you will be able to buy the new book. I give it away so people can test my work and enjoy the true prediction, the true values of my work.
Dr. Louis Tui, it's been a pleasure.
As always, thank you very much for inviting me.
We'll have you back soon. Should I be bullish on the rest of the year or a little leery? I'm not talking about me personally as much as in general.
Well, again, you know, if you go to my website and you can read the daily and monthly forecast, it's like guiding people on a daily basis of what they should do or not do by respecting the laws. Remember, you have the physical laws. If you see the red light in the street, you have to stop. If you see the stop sign, you got to stop. You have to respect the laws of man. I teach you the laws of the divine. And there is also red light in the universe. And if you do not know or don't respect those laws, you're going to pay the penalty.
Okay, Dr. Turi, thank you very much.